Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. Second hour on this Wednesday. Talked a lot of Vandy in the first hour as they prepare for College Game Day coming to town this weekend and taking on Missouri at First Bank Stadium. 2:30 kick on Saturday. But the Titans are coming off another loss, 31-13, to their old friend Mike Vrabel in Nissan Stadium Sunday afternoon. It was a tight game for the most part through the first half.
It was.
It was 13-10. Titans got a great play from Cam Ward to Chim Dike.
If you just erase the second half, and I know you can't do that, all right, but, I mean, we're talking about incremental improvement here.
Yeah.
If you just watched the first half and you didn't see the second half, you would say that looked like a better football team,
yeah.
Right? Right?
For sure.
Okay, they scored a first-quarter touchdown for the first
time
this year.
They did.
But I think also there was just more of a flow to the offense. And you know, maybe it's just that first post-Callahan bump. I don't know. But it felt like letting Cam do more of what he felt good in. But, I mean, there was still like you saw the one rollout right off the bat.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, there we go.
Yeah, not running it into the line on the first play of the game.
Well, look, I don't have a problem with running the football. But you know, we've seen Cam roll out this year, and I think he's probably about 6 for 6 or 7 for 7 doing it.
Right.
I don't know if we saw him do it again in the game.
Yeah, you might be right.
And I'm like, come on,
yeah,
man.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to just not do what your quarterback has proven that he's good at consistently.
Yeah, but, you know, and so, like, the long touchdown to Chim Dike.
Yeah,
great pocket to throw from.
Right, well-designed play. Protection was good.
And again, you know, I know Tyler Lockett's gone, but I don't know. And Tyler Lockett's a nice man. He's had a great career. I think everybody's ready to see Chim Dike play and see what he can do.
Right.
I mean, it's not like you mean he had 10 catches for 70 yards, Lockett.
Yes.
I'm not talking about in a game. I'm talking about for the season.
Chim Dike had more yards in the first half than Tyler Lockett had the whole year.
Okay. So, you know, you're at a point where you're like, okay, he needs to play anyway. And look, Lockett didn't leave because I don't like it here. He left because he saw the writing on the wall. He was getting passed up. He's not stupid. And he didn't want to sit the bench or get released because that's probably what was going to happen. He was probably going to get released at some point.
I think if he had any trade value, he would be gone.
Yeah, but
and
he doesn't. That's right. So, wait, who's going to pick him up? I'm like, no one.
I mentioned this yesterday on the show. I saw some Giants fan tweet, he should come be our wide receiver one for the rest of the season. I'm like,
what?
Tyler Lockett is not Tyler Lockett of Russell Wilson days. Like,
no.
This is a guy who was brought in mostly just to be a placeholder until the Titans got their young guys in place.
They needed a veteran.
Yes.
They needed a veteran, and there's nothing wrong with that.
The Titans made two moves in the offseason to get veteran wide receivers. Yeah. You got Van Jefferson to be the Elikai Manor placeholder.
By the way, has played pretty well for this team.
Yeah.
For everybody who wanted to cut him.
After one drop in Atlanta.
I mean, he had four more catches for 45 yards in this game.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, I'm not saying he's wide receiver one or wide receiver
two.
But
he's a great wide receiver 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a guy who has done it in the NFL for a long time. He's had a 700-yard season, I believe. 800-yard season.
When the Rams won the Super Bowl, he was an 850-yard receiver.
Right.
When the Rams won the Super Bowl. He was an integral piece of their attack.
Yes, and you don't want to rely on Van Jefferson to be on the field for 45 snaps a game, but if he's your backup, that's a guy who sees the field 15, 20 snaps a game, that's a pretty good guy to have.
He had four catches for 45 yards. He moved the chains. He's a big target. And again, I'm not selling him as a one or a two, but I'm selling when you can put him in the game, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
All right.
When you get Bryce Oliver and Calvin Ridley back healthy, your wide receiver room actually starts to look somewhat decent.
Yeah.
You don't have the high end talent.
I'd like to see Bryce play this weekend. I don't know if he will or not.
He hasn't played since the Colts game.
Well,
he was
active a couple weeks ago.
Was he? I know he hurt his knee. Was it the Colts or was it the Texans
game? Yeah, it was
game?
A while ago. It was a while. And then he missed like three, and then he came back to practice. Maybe he just came back to practice and was inactive.
I think that's probably what it was, is that he's been limited in practice but didn't play.
Yeah.
So
they probably should just put him on IR. But
and Calvin Ridley, I'm going to make the assumption he's not going to play this week. I mean, there's always an outside chance, but hamstrings, those are ones you don't mess with wide receivers.
Well, especially when you see him just shut it down like he did.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't look good.
Exhibit A, Corey Davis. Like, if there's a hamstring injury, usually it's better to give a little bit more time.
Or else you're going to pull it again. I mean,
right.
And really, though, look, you can give it 3 to 6 weeks. It's not going to get better until the offseason.
Yeah.
You just hope you've got it in a place where you don't tear it again. That's it. It's not going to get better 100% during the season. That's just not going to happen.
We do have some somewhat breaking news from the Predators.
Okay.
Brady Martin has been sent back to juniors.
That's depressing.
So last night he only played a little under 11 minutes on the ice in his return after missing the entire road trip.
Okay.
And I guess here's what Adam Vingan tweeted out. Barry Trotz said on their show, DVD on 1025 The Game yesterday, "I don't want Brady Martin playing 10, 11 minutes a night. To me, that would be a disservice." He played between 10 and 11 minutes last night.
I understand that. So why doesn't he play more?
That's the...
I mean, look, you're 2-3-2. You know, your vets are not getting it done.
Yeah.
They're not. I mean, they did not look good last night.
No. And you know what? With the breaking news, we'll talk some hockey here, and we'll get into the Predators, who had a rough game last night, and we'll talk Smashville on the other side. Game one of a 5-game homestand, they lose 5-2 to the Anaheim Ducks, and pretty much nothing looked good for the Predators last night. And now again, breaking news.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
The Predators have sent Brady Martin down to juniors. Logan on the text line says the Preds are old and boring. They got to get young and just embrace an actual rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
But it is now official. You will not see Brady Martin back up here with the NHL club until at least the end of the junior season. So maybe sometime in the spring. 615-737-1025. We will talk Titans, but let's get into the Preds coming up next with the news that Brady Martin has been sent back to juniors. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Preds fans, Smashville Live returns tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. See your Predator stars up close and personal, and also get autographs and pictures. Preds players guests will be Adam Willsby and Tyson Jost. That is, I believe that's tonight at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue, and only on 1025 The Game, because the Predators play a game tomorrow night. So yes, tonight at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue, 6 p.m. Smashville Live returns. Again, Adam Willsby, Tyson Jost going to be the player guest with Max Herz and Kara Hammer. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you here on Next Man Up, and we are going to talk some Preds here. We'll get back into the Titans, but some breaking news, not completely unexpected, maybe the timing a little bit unexpected. Brady Martin, the number 5 pick in the NHL draft this year for the Predators, has been sent back to his juniors team in the OHL after playing just 3 games with the Predators, not exceeding more than, I believe, 12 minutes on the ice. So,
but I think they went 2-1 in those games.
They went 1-1-1.
1-1-1.
Yes. They won the opener, then overtime loss against Utah, and then the loss last night against Anaheim.
And they are 2-3-2 right now.
Yeah.
So he was not holding them back.
No, he was not. And he did not play at all on the road, which we've talked about. Likely because they don't get the last change, and you want to make sure you have the right matchup on the ice with Brady Martin. But Barry Trotz said on DVD yesterday that he believed it was a disservice to only have Brady Martin on the ice for 10 to 11 minutes a game, and he played 10 minutes and 51 seconds last night, and he has been sent back to juniors. So the Predators will not see him until at least the end of his juniors team, and probably likely not till next season. So let's get to some of your reaction on this. Chip from Mount Juliet says, same trend for Preds. He asks, how long is Brunette's leash?
And, oh, my gosh, it's got to be getting short.
Yeah, and hockey is one of those it's the sport, I think, with the shortest leash among coaches and managers. Like,
well, I mean, what did Burnett talk about last night? We didn't play at a level that they needed to play it right.
It was bad last night.
Well, I mean, but that's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, that's what we heard last year, is they weren't playing on the level they needed to play on. And unless you're going to get rid of, and like, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, you got to fire him, but if he can't get them to play at that level, then you gotta find why.
Yeah.
Why?
And I think you liked that the defense started to look better in front of UC Saros. Like
First four games, you could see
that the adjustments that they made were actually paying dividends, and you were getting less high danger scoring opportunities against UC Saros. And then yesterday, Brady Shea with two horrible shifts, turnovers in the defensive zone that lead directly to goals. You know, you've got to see progress. It's the same thing as Brian Callahan, right? Like,
sure.
Like, there were conversations last year.
Except Burnett did have a winning season.
He did, yes. Andrew Burnett proved that he could do it his first year. They had the 19-game point streak.
But that was a young team.
Yes.
And now he's got an old team.
And
he had an old team last year. So there's a common thread there about who he can pull along and who he's pulled along. And again, I could be dead wrong. I mean, Adam, Robbie, they're much more plugged into the team than I am.
For sure.
I get over there when I can and watch what I can. But, I saw a team that overachieved 2 years ago, and I've seen a team that's now that underachieved last year, started this year hopeful. And like you said, hey, they look better defensively, but last night looked like last year.
Yes.
And
they reverted back to last year's defense. And, you know, the defense, maybe it was just a bad night. And you haven't seen Nick Hague on the ice yet, who probably the biggest name free agent acquisition that this team was able to bring in. He's been injured. You haven't gotten him back on the ice yet. But the biggest concern to me with the Predators is they can't score 5-on-5 with all of the goal scorers that they've got in.
Well, that's a problem because they can't score on the power play.
And that was where I was going, is that even when you get on the man advantage, what, they only have two goals on the power play this year?
Okay, you're skirting the issue, all right? Steven Stamkos isn't the player that they thought he was going to be, right?
Yeah. I mean, Stamkos and Marchessault, you bring those guys in who they are the all-time leading goal scorers for their previous organizations, and neither of them have been impact players for this team.
I mean, you know, Stamkos has, 600 career goals almost? I think he was at 555 or something when he started last year.
Yes.
And he has never looked comfortable, never looked happy, And, you know, outside of, and again, I don't see everything. I don't know everything. I see him park on that left circle and look for slap shots, but I don't see a lot more. You know, Marchessault throws his body around. You know, he just hasn't been able to finish as much and just maybe hasn't found the pairing of his liking. But, you know, look, you were expecting minimum 60 goals from those two.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean,
when you made those signings, it was to go all in, and you finished third to last in the NHL last year.
And now you're tied to those contracts.
Yes. And you can't get out of it.
You know, you need those guys to produce at a higher level. I think Stamkos has one goal. Does Marchessault have a goal?
He has two.
He has two goals? Okay. I think he got them both in Canada, right?
He had at least one on the homestand. Okay. Maybe you're right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
Neither of them are producing the way they need to.
No,
they're not getting enough. I think Forsberg got his second last night.
Yes.
But look, when I watch this team, you know, Forsberg is still a force. But, you know, the one guy who I feel like really can create offense for them is still Roman Josi from the blue line.
Yep.
He gets the puck on his stick. He can still beat everyone to the boards on the back wall, race around the net, and create space and open things up. He did it again last night. I'm like, he's the only guy in this team who can really create that offense because he's got that speed. You know, and Anaheim's a fast team, and they made him pay. And so, you know, they got to get faster. They got to create more. And you know, it's like Jeffrey Simmons always says, our best players need to be our best players.
Yep.
And that's not happening.
It's disappointing for this team because it's the high-priced guys you brought in aren't living up to expectations, and the young guys don't seem to be developing. You haven't seen enough from Fedor Svechkov so far this year. Luke Evangelista's had his moments, but he's not putting the puck in the net. You need better from everyone. And Steven Stamkos had some interesting comments yesterday. Emma Lingan putting this out on X yesterday in the afternoon. So this was before yesterday's game. He says, it's tough. I mean, we have some pretty good offensive players that want to produce to help our team win. When you're not helping in that regard, it's tough. No one's going to talk about, oh, you made a good defensive play, or you're playing well defensively in the games that we're not winning. It's like we need to find a way to score some more goals. We're not a team that is going to go out and score four or five goals every night. I think we can all agree on that, right?
Yeah, but you got to score three.
Yes.
You got to score three to give your – I mean, three is kind of the magical number. I'm not asking them to go score five a night.
Yeah.
I'm asking them to score three.
Well, right. I mean, how many 3-2 losses did the Preds have over the last couple of years?
Yeah, and how many, you know – how many 2-1, 3-2 losses turn into 5-2, 6-2 losses because of empty netters?
Yep.
I mean, they had the 7-4 game the other night where they gave up three empty netters. But yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's, you know, and you can't, and I think this is part of the problem they got into last year, and they talked about it. They would get behind, or they were struggling so much to score goals, they lost their defensive, what's the word I'm looking, discipline.
Yeah.
Trying to score three goals at once.
Right.
And you have to continue. Fans hate it when I talk about this, and I get it. It's just like with the Titans and stuff. You have to continue to grind out and do the right things. And you just kind of keep doing them and keep doing them and keep doing them and keep doing them until it breaks through and it gives you more. And you just have to keep doing the right things on defense to set yourself up for good things on offense until you can finally start breaking through. You know, one of the issues is we've been waiting for some young forwards to break through for years.
Yeah.
And it's still, you know, not happening. Who do we got? Fedor Svechkov?
Luke Evangelista. You had Tommy Novak last year, who they put in the top six at center.
I mean, and none of those guys are really producing. And you're counting on those guys. And now Brady Martin's going down. And it's a look, you just lost again, and now you're sending the kid down, and it's just like, that's a balloon going empty for fans. Oh, it's going to be a long year.
It is.
But, you know, I mean, you still look at the roster, and you see the names on the roster, and you're like, well, why can't they do more?
Yeah. These guys, I don't think they've forgotten how to play hockey, but it just doesn't seem to be working here.
Well, I mean, like, Stamkos has found the net, like, 600 times.
Right.
He didn't forget
He knows how to score goals.
So, I mean, it'd be interesting for him, you know, to have him, you know, really honestly say, why aren't you scoring?
It's a good point.
Because he's never going to, I mean, number one, he's not going to say it's his fault. But number two, he's not going to throw anybody under the bus as to why. I mean, Marchessault did a little bit of that after last season.
Yeah.
He had some damage control after the season. And that's why they talked about, you know, everybody buying in. And, you know, it looked like there was some buy-in to start, but, you know, last night, like you talked about, there was a lot left to be desired last night. And Burnett let him have it at one point. I think it was tied at two, and he got everybody over the bench, and he's like, we can't play like this. And then they gave up three more goals.
Yes. They were able to dig themselves out of a couple holes, get to 2-2, and then the floodgates opened up after that. Max Herz, looking at his lines from yesterday, they have, at the very least, moved Stamkos around, trying to find him the right running mates out there. He's played with Fedor Svechkov. He's played with Eric Hall in the middle. He's played with Ryan O'Reilly. They just can't seem to find that right spot for him to be in position to actually put the puck in the net. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will get to your phones. Dustin from Hopkinsville on the line. He texted, take my call. We will take it on the other side, Dustin, and we'll get to all of your other phones. Again, Brady Martin has been sent down after playing just three games with the Predators. He's going back to his juniors team, Preds, losing the opener of their five-game homestand last night. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you on this Wednesday. Preds making the move, sending their fifth overall pick, Brady Martin, back to juniors after playing just three of the first seven games of the season. Let's get your thoughts on it. We head to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin from Hopkinsville has been waiting patiently. Dustin, thank you for waiting through the break. What you got for us today?
Hey, no problem, guys. So, I really was excited about Barry Trotz when he first got here. I mean, look at what he did as a coach with Washington, New York Islanders, you know, us. And we got him back. And ever since, he's made a move about once or twice a year that I'm just like, dude, like the UC Soros signing him to 8 years, all that money. Now, I know we can't get out of him, and if we ever can, in my opinion, you take what you can get for him and drop that money. Now, he did not, in my opinion, set Andrew Burnett up for success because we're old. I did not like the Steven Stamkos pickup. Okay, there's a reason why the Stanley Cup winning champions, Tampa Bay Lightning, was willing to get rid of him. He had a lot of talent around him that even when, like, Derrick Henry loses a step, he's still two steps ahead of everybody. But when you've got more talent around you, it just brings your game up.
Okay? Dustin, along those lines, if he had young players producing around him, he would fit what they needed from him more, I think is what you're saying. And so, you know, Stamkos not being set up to produce because the young players haven't stepped up. I mean, I think it's like this vicious circle for the whole thing. Is that kind of where we're going?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And also, what do you do this offseason? He didn't get faster and younger.
No.
I mean, he may have got younger, but he got heavier and just wants to punch you in the mouth. And our problem was not scoring enough goals. That's what we keep talking about. We didn't go get no goal scores. We didn't – I mean – Forsberg's at the end of his career with us, too. I mean, it's time to get these guys out like they did Stamkos. It's time to trade these guys. It's time for an actual dang rebuild.
Well, I think I agree with Dustin to a degree on that. I think Forsberg got quite a few good years left in him.
Yeah.
But they need a new core. And that's what we've been talking about. You know, when you're talking about a rebuild, too, you need a new core because, you know, you've got Yossi, Forsberg, and Saros. They need Martin, Tanner Mullendijk.
Yes. Andrew Gibson, Matthew Wood.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you need all those guys to step up.
They need three of those guys to become the new core for this hockey team.
Yep.
And we need to see some sign that they're going to be it.
Yep.
And I really think the moves that Trotz has made has hurt the team more than Andrew Burnett. You went and got a coach that's high-octane young guys to go out there and just like a bolt of lightning up and down the ice, and that's not what we have. So what do you expect Andrew Burnett to change his whole coaching philosophy and you give him all these nursing home players and big guys that's not skaters?
Well, you coach the players you got, not the ones you want. But I agree with you that the coach and the GM do need to work hand-in-hand some.
Yep. Yeah, thank you for the call, Dustin. I think those are some good points. And the strategy this offseason, it seems like it was, let's hope the goal scorers we brought in and the goal scorers we have, that it was just a fluke that they didn't have a good year last year.
You had to expect to get more from Stamkos and Marchessault.
Yes.
And I mean they're like they cannot be, I hate to use this word, that bad again. All right. They've got to get more. I know why they got bigger. Look who won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Look how they did it. Okay. That's the thing. I mean, Barry went into the playoffs undersized year after year after year here and watched, you know, Marty Erat and those guys just get bounced around.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were good hockey players, but, you know, you can have a few smaller ones, but if you don't have the bigger ones to help them out, then they pick those guys out. I mean, and, you know, I remember Marty got his teeth knocked out.
It's still early in the season, but the last few games have definitely been disappointing for this team, and you hope Nick Hague gets healthy. Jonathan Marchessault hasn't played the last couple of games, but Brady Martin not on the team for the rest of the year.
Okay, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Are you disappointed?
Yeah.
And not because I think it's a bad move by Trotz. I just think that he wants him to play more than 10 or 11 minutes. I don't love that reason. I don't love that reason.
Yeah.
I mean, because like Bedard came in and played for the Blackhawks right away. And you saw the talent, but I mean, he didn't dominate.
No, he was not Connor McDavid.
No, but he's still out there playing. But guess what? They don't have a lot else.
No, and I think even outside of being on the ice, I think Brady Martin can take a lot from practicing with these guys every day and being in the locker room with them.
Playing with Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg, I think, is really beneficial to him.
even if it is only 10 or 11 minutes for the next six games, I think that still helps his development. But he is going to get to go play back in juniors and likely dominate the rest of the year. And you hope that he is a permanent part of the roster next season. Let's go back to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bob from Antioch is on the line. Bob, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you. I kind of want to pursue what the previous caller was talking about. Last week, I went up to Montreal and saw the game up there. That's a fantastic place to see a game if you've never been up there.
Original six.
Yes. And in the overtime, Forsberg and Stamkos went down 2-0 and didn't score. And to me, that symbolizes the issue we're talking about. And I wanted to ask you about Forsberg. How much do you think he has left in the tank? Because of all those guys, I'm really kind of the most focused on him and also the most worried, because he seems like he's lost a little bit.
Well, okay. It looks like we lost you here, Bob. Look, the one thing about Philip is he's always been a little streaky.
Yeah.
And so there are times where he dips down and then he gets hot again and he scores. I mean, look, he still can put the puck in the net, and he's still as reliable as anybody they've got putting the puck in the net. Is he a top, you know, five forward in the National Hockey League? No, he's not. But he's still an all-star caliber player.
Yeah.
How old is he, 32?
That sounds right.
I mean, if you have younger
31.
31, I mean, I think he's still got 4 or 5 quality years.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I'm not worried. I mean, I understand you need Philip Forsberg to play at a super elite level. Why? Because the other guys aren't, all right? The other guys aren't. They're all coming up short.
Yeah.
And so you need him because he's the one guy you can rely on to put the puck in the net, all right? And so, yeah, you 2-on-none, they should score.
Yeah, that Montreal game, you see what's happened since then, and you wonder how much of a
gut punch
that was.
Yeah, absolutely. I wondered when it happened.
Right. It's like you can't get the puck into the empty net. You give up a goal on the other end with 20 seconds left.
Well,
then you get the breakaway.
You didn't even need to take that shot with the empty net.
Right. You just got to try and, I mean, you could run the clock out. Like,
he could have, well, because there was a guy right in front of him, and he fired it right into his chest. He could have just taken the puck right into the corner and put his skate on it. And tried to
make it impossible for them to score at the other end,
or try to work an angle to the net because he didn't have one.
Yeah,
it wasn't a great choice.
No,
it wasn't. And like, I understand it's an empty net and blah 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 blah. The clock is your friend there.
Yes, yeah. It's not like there was a minute and a half left.
If the guy wasn't there and the net was wide open, absolutely. But just to fire it right into his chest.
Yeah.
That wasn't a great decision.
Yeah, and then as Bob was mentioning, you get that 2-on-0 with Forsberg and Stamkos in overtime. You can't score, and then you give up a goal with 2 seconds left.
Yeah, it's like dropping a touchdown when you're like, that's got to be 6 points.
Right.
That's got to be a goal. Those two guys on a break, that's got
to
be a goal.
And you've been outscored 9-3 since. So they've got to figure it out. You got 4 more games in a row here at home. Let's go back to our phone lines. One more time on the Preds. Trey is on the line wanting to talk Preds. Trey, we're used to your Titans calls. What you got on the Preds today?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Hey, I just want to say, I know y'all, you know, I followed hockey back when I was a kid back in Mississippi growing up, Channel 13 on ESPN. And it seems like, for me, the Predators, Why did they give UC Soros that big contract? You know, it seems like to me having a problem, helping the team, like, as far as, like, defending the goals. And the Predators can't score goals. Like, you need at least three goals to stay relevant, right?
Yeah, well, 3 is the magic number to me. And, you know, we wondered about Juice last year because he didn't have a great year, but we know the defense was horrible. And then he went to the World Championships with Finland, and he was electric.
But when he was subbing for PK seemed like every time he got in there, he lost.
Pecorine?
Yeah, he was subbing for Pecky.
I remember when he came in the Stanley Cup Final against Pittsburgh, and he looked pretty darn good. All right? Look. You can question, you can fairly question the commitment to UC Soros. And let you guys answer this question for me, because this is what he looks like to me right now. He looks like Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah,
he's at the end. He's really good with good players around him.
Yeah.
But if you need him to stand on his head by himself, then you're in a little bit of trouble right now, because like that, and that's the difference between him and Pecorine. Pecorine, for much of his career, towards the end not so much, much of his career could stand on his head and erase a lot of mistakes. He was a human eraser for them.
Yes. Hey, thank you guys, and y'all have a good day, okay? I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Trey. Yeah, I mean, UC Soros, I don't think deserves most of the blame for that. Like,
no,
yeah,
I don't either.
You can question the 8-year contract for sure, but I also...
He erased some shots last night.
I think, yes, this team would be worse, not better, if UC Soros wasn't...
Well, I mean, you saw the game that Eustace played.
And it was... It was worse.
It was worse. And that wasn't all on Eustace either, because the defense wasn't good that night either.
615-737-1025. We got one more caller on the Preds. Bill is on the line. Bill, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Good. I'm a season ticket holder, and I sit in 114. And I've always been one who was a half glass full guy. I thought Brunette was a good hire, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
The thing that upsets me about all this is, and I went to the little event that Trotz had before the season started, and he talked about all the young talent
that they were
excited about. So we have Kimmel up here. Matthew Wood starts out hurt.
Kimmel's already got sent down.
I know. Why did they send him down? Kimmel was they played him like one game, and then he gets scratched, and they send him down.
And now Brady's going to juniors. So Kimmel's in Milwaukee, and Brady's in juniors, and we get to watch Tyson Jost.
So call up these young guys. I'm not saying call up five or six, but let's call up Kimmel. Let's get Matthew Wood up here, and start scratching some people that are veterans that aren't producing, and let the young guys play. I mean, what the hell do we have to lose at this point? It's not working, and in my opinion, it's time to make the coaching change. And I love Brunette. I thought it was a great hire, but it's not working, and we need to start infusing this young talent and get better, because they're not going to get better unless they start playing, in my opinion.
Thanks for the call, Bill.
I agree.
Thanks.
I agree with Bill from this premise that this coaching staff and this roster are not meshing. So one has probably got to change. All right. And you take your pick. Do you want to change the coach, or do you want to change some of the players? And how difficult is each one? I know which way I would go first. It probably isn't the way that everybody else would go, but I know what I think is holding this team back. And we'll see where they go.
Yeah, and I think at some point this season, if it trends in the direction of last year where you're out of the playoff mix by January, February, I think they do start going with the youth movement and call all those guys up and see what they can do. But as of now, I think you're only 7 games in. You know, here we are. We're having the same conversations about the Titans and the Preds. You're only 7 games in.
Yeah.
I think they're...
I think, you look at the Preds record, they're 2-3-2.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's not the end of the world. And it's not, but when the last 2 weeks have looked like last season, that's why you're like,
right.
And that's why it's concerning. The questions I've got, and I know we're running out of time here, if you want to go with the youth movement, can you find somebody to take Marchessault or Stamkos?
Yes. Yeah.
And I know you like O'Reilly and you like what he brings your team. I mean, if you want to hang on to a vet, he's the one I want to hang on to. But you got to find someone to take one of those contracts on. And so you're probably going to have to eat part of it.
Right.
And I think they'll get to a point where they can, if they just have to be willing to eat like half of it.
Yeah. And the trade deadline could be very interesting for the Predators if they decide to embrace the rebuild if things aren't going well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to text or call. The Preds, again, sending Brady Martin back to juniors. That's what prompted this whole conversation on the Predators.
Yeah, people are upset.
We're going to talk plenty of Titans in the final hour, but we're going to have a few minutes on the other side here before 11 o'clock. You want to get into the Vitello saga a little bit? For a couple minutes. We'll talk about that on the other side. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Vandy fans, it's time to party. The Commodores are ranked in the top 10, and ESPN's College Game Day is coming to Nashville. To celebrate, 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live this Friday from noon to 6 p.m. at the new Party Foul near Vandy in Midtown at 2031 Broadway. Plus, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to the sold-out game against Missouri this Saturday. So come out to the all-new Party Foul in Midtown this Friday from noon to 6 p.m. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly wrapping up the second hour of the program. Appreciate everybody chiming in over the last few segments on the Preds. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We only have a couple minutes in this segment. Did want to touch on the Tony Vitello stuff with the reports on Saturday that the San Francisco Giants were closing in on a deal with Tony Vitello to bring him in as the next manager of the team and pull him away from Tennessee. Then there was reports that a decision would be made within 72 hours, and that has since come and gone. Still no word of whether Vitello will stay in Knoxville.
I saw a video where he looks like he's crying after talking to his team.
He said to the fans, like, love y'all, thank y'all, yesterday after a scrimmage. So if I had to guess, I think he's leaving, mostly because those reports don't come out unless it's close, right?
Yeah, I don't know what's holding it up, frankly. I mean,
maybe he's hoping Tennessee makes him one more offer, but I feel like it shouldn't really be about the money, because the money's probably about equal. It's got to be about where he feels like he can have the most success.
Well, I mean, how important is checking that box? I mean, you're going to be a manager of a major league base. There's only
30.
So many of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was ever a box he wanted to check, but it's there.
Yeah, when that gets put on your table, I'm sure that's hard to say no to.
And I know he has built a great thing at Tennessee, and I'm not trying to talk him into leaving, but when you look at it reasonably, if you go to the Giants and your way of doing things doesn't work out in the majors and you get fired in 6 months, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm doing kind of worst case scenario and say, you know, you say you're one and done, you're out.
Yeah.
Okay. You got 15 schools
right
lined up to make you a rich man until you do whatever you want with our baseball.
You would
program.
Have no shortage of options
to
come back to college baseball.
So it's not like, oh, am I going to end my career? No, you're not going to end your career. No.
It's a good point.
I mean, so it's just a matter of, I mean, he's still a young man, you know, but nothing lasts forever either. And so is this your shot?
And he's already won the national championship at Tennessee, so yes. It's not like he's continued to come up short.
What does he mean, 3 trips to Omaha?
Yes. In, what, 7 years, Parker?
Yeah.
7 years?
In the last 5 years.
Well, he's been there 7 years, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Since 2018.
They were terrible when he took over.
So, I mean, I think he's going to end up going. 7268 on the text line says Danny White's silence during all of this is shocking. We were joking about there are some Vols fans who have made fake accounts saying that they're the biggest San Francisco Giants fans out there and basically trying to convince Buster Posey and the Giants not to hire Tony Vitello.
I will tell you this. It is a boom or bust decision. And I generally think major league managers are overrated.
I agree.
I mean, the Brewers are a pretty good example of that. They had Craig Counsell. They were all upset when he went to the Cubs.
Yeah.
And guess what? They're still the best record
in the
National League.
And they just beat Craig Counsell in the playoffs.
Yes, yes. So, although Craig Counsell did help elevate the Cubs a little bit. But you could also argue Kyle Tucker did and Pete Crow Armstrong did and those things as well. So I do think that managers can be a little overvalued. And I don't want to just say they're school bus drivers. Because there's more to it than that. There's a reason some guys win a lot.
But it's a less important position in the majors than it is in college baseball.
Yes,
and
exactly.
The biggest advantage that Tony Vitello has had is how good of a recruiter he is.
Well, and that and when you get him on campus, can you develop him? And so when you're a major league manager, the development is done before you ever get him.
Yeah. Yeah, that is
so,
true.
So, I mean, that's my thing is like, you know, you're getting them when you think they're ready, all right? And so, you know, but look, he's volatile. I mean, he's fiery and, you know, he's got loads of personality. And I get that the Giants are trying to figure out how do we deal with the Dodgers spending a half a billion dollars a year on players.
Yeah, and I guess it can't hurt to think outside the box because clearly the stereotypical major league manager hasn't been working.
No, and so what does he give them? He gives them voltage. And maybe that's what they're looking for. We need somebody to come in here and energize this team. We can't afford to go get a Shohei Ohtani. We can't do that. He's not available, number one. But number two, we can't afford it.
Yeah.
But we can bring this guy in, and we know this guy is going to get everybody's attention. Fans, players, media, everybody's. And so he can give us some voltage and hopefully get us competitive because we have talked about it. You just got to get to October and then cross your fingers and hope everything goes the way it goes.
Yeah.
Now, it's so funny because, you know, the Dodgers were struggling with 8 million different things during the season, but still, you know, wound up in October. And then in October, they're exactly the team you were afraid they were going to
be. They are who we thought they were.
And they just destroy everything in their path. By the way, Mookie Betts is sensational.
Yes, he is.
And he gets overlooked now because Shohei Ohtani is otherworldly.
Yes.
I mean,
he is a unicorn.
They should name him Kal-El. I mean, that's the greatest game in baseball history.
Right. I mean,
no one else has done
that. Six shutout innings, 10 strikeouts, 3 home runs.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's no one who has come close to that kind of performance in a baseball game in their life.
Yeah.
No. But for Mookie Betts to move to shortstop, something he hasn't played for a very long time.
Yeah.
And now playing at like a gold glove level.
He's a ridiculous athlete.
He is. And he's gotten paid and he's still motivated. And he started this year really sick and and lost a ton of weight. And guess what? October's here and Mookie Betts is Mookie Betts.
And this would be his third World Series championship, right? He won one with the Red Sox, and this would be the second with the Dodgers. So,
he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer.
I don't think you could.
He's a Hall of Famer. If he could walk away today, he'd be a Hall of Famer.
There's no argument there. He has been one of the best players in baseball over the last decade. 615-737-1025. Could have a resolution on the Vitello saga at any minute, so we'll give you updates if there is any sort of news on whether he is staying or leaving Knoxville to go to San Francisco. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. It is finally time to talk some Titans. We talk Vanny in the first hour. Brady Martin gets sent down to juniors here in the second hour. We'll talk some Two-Tone Blue as they get ready to face Indianapolis for the second time this season on Sunday. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.